Hey. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor human heart has conceived what God has planned for those who love him. Amen. It's truly amazing to be here with my Unity of New York family. And hey, you guys I haven't met before. Happy to be here. For those of you who don't know, my story, my husband and I had been coming here for 5.5 years. In 2008, I wasn't sure what direction my life was going to go in. I sat in one of these seats here, and I prayed the prayer, "What is mine to do? What is mine to do?" And Spirit completely shifted my life, called me into doing service here in this ministry in many different ways, called me to go to Unity Village, to study to be a minister, to serve in the Silent Unity Prayer Ministry, to serve several Unity churches there, and has now brought me to Unity of Houston, at another one of the larger Unity churches. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful every day to this community that supported me on my path. You're all in my heart, in my prayers. And if you're ever in Houston, you know your family there, right? So come out, say hi, check out. It's a beautiful campus. We have a Tower of Light sanctuary. We have a pyramid there, fountains, and a prayer garden. And it's just a beautiful place. So know you're always welcome. You're always home there. Isn't life amazing? Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say thank you for being here today. Because you're amazing. Give yourselves a round of applause for showing up here today. Yeah. For saying yes to Spirit, for saying yes to this spiritual community, for saying yes to the conscious awakening of our planet and to joy and to love. Thank you for showing up today. I'm going to share with you something that you've never seen before on a Unity stage. You may never see again. So, you ready? A pregnant Unity minister. I think I'm the only one in the world, actually, so that's a call to you younger people to come be Unity ministers. Say it with me, that's so amazing. I just turned 40 this week, and to be pregnant with our expecting our first child is such a gift. And the miracle that my body knows what to do to create a child is just the miracle of life. Like, I don't have to tell my body what to do. There's a little person in there growing. It's amazing, and it's gotten me into this state of consciousness where I'm being open to more aspects of life that are amazing, that are miracles, that are wonderful things happening in the world. And I know there's a lot going on in the world to amaze us in many ways, like some of the things the campaigning politicians have been saying lately, right? But then there are other things that amaze us in positive ways, right? And we know that just earlier this summer, only a few short weeks ago, the Supreme Court ruled for true marriage equality in all 50 states. Including Texas, which, who would have thought that that would happen? I mean, moving to Texas, and I'm not quite sure about this place, but, I'm excited. I haven't had the opportunity to do a gay wedding yet, so I'm ready if you want to come on down, or I'd be blessed and honored. So we've witnessed many celebrations, a lot of joy out of this good that has come forth. It is a sign, we know, of our evolution in consciousness to love on our planet, isn't it? We continue to see this. We look for it. We see it. We see God at work in the world, don't we? So I wanted to begin by sharing with you a story about a little boy who had in his heart the desire to see God. So he packed up a suitcase because he figured it'd be a long way to get to God, and he put in what he thought would be important, a six-pack of root beer and some Twinkies. So he set off on his journey, and he'd gone about 3 blocks until he found a park, and he sat down on a bench. And there on the bench with him was an older woman. She was staring at some pigeons, And he opened up a bottle of root beer he got in his suitcase, started drinking his root beer, and he noticed that this older woman looked hungry. And so he gave her one of his Twinkies, and she smiled, this big smile. And he went, wow, it's so beautiful. And so they kept this kind of nonverbal conversation going. He'd give her a Twinkie, and she'd smile, and then they started eating Twinkies together and feeding Twinkies to the pigeons. And this went on all day, just not saying a word. And as it began to get dark, the little boy realized he needed to get home. He was tired, so he got up to leave. And as he packed up his suitcase and started walking away, his heart was so full, he turned around and he ran to that woman and he gave her a huge hug. And she smiled the biggest smile she had smiled all day. And he just felt so full of joy and bliss. And when he got home, his mom said to him, "What did you do today? You look so joyful. What made you so happy?" And the little boy said, "I had lunch with God." And you know, she has the most beautiful smile. Meanwhile, the older woman, when she got home, she looked radiant. And her daughter was there. And her daughter noticed the look of peace on her face and the look of bliss. And she said, "What did you do today to make you so happy?" And she said, "I ate Twinkies in the park with God." And you know, he's much younger than I expected. Isn't that amazing? This boy had the intention to see God, and it took him only 3 blocks to find God, in another person. And this woman was so open to her experience of life, to see God in this little boy who was sharing Twinkies with her. And so I'm not saying that the way to God is through root beer and Twinkies, though they can bring you a lot of joy, surely. But through that simple willingness to be amazed by what is going on in life, life that is all around you, the presence of God that's already at work in your lives. So are you allowing yourself to be amazed by God's presence in your life? So often, instead of noticing how amazing life is, we can get caught up in some other A words about life: annoying, agonizing, antagonizing, aggravating, attacking, angering, maybe even annihilating. When we get caught into mind states like this, it can be very difficult, maybe even seemingly impossible, to see what's amazing about life, because we could get so stuck in a problem. We allow it to steal from us that very consciousness that allows us to be open to the blessings, to the good, to God that is present right there in the moment. Albert Einstein said, "There are only 2 ways to live your life. One, as though nothing is a miracle, and the other, as though everything is a miracle." But we know that not everything seems to be a miracle. I know it didn't seem like a miracle to me when last year we received the diagnosis that my father has dementia. To know that my father is suffering from forgetfulness, from confusion, that didn't sound like a miracle. And then recently to discover that he had fallen 3 times. That didn't seem like a miracle. Now find out that he needs 24/7 home care. And this is a very proud Italian father who valued his independence. It was hard for our family, knowing that he could wander outside and get lost, forget where he is. And put a lot of pressure on my sister, who's his caregiver, and she's taken on the responsibility for his well-being. Yet in the midst of all this that's going on in our family, I'm willing to see a miracle. That this opportunity for supporting my father also offers up an opportunity for us to see how amazing this is going to work out for us. I'm willing to see my father having an experience of God in and through his experience, even in what seems like his own helplessness. And we know that there are many miracles that happen in the Bible, right? And you remember what it says, how the crowd experienced the miracles? It usually says the crowd was amazed. They were amazed. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, Jesus teaches a crowd of 5,000 people. Remember that's the story? He teaches them all day, and then they're hungry. And the disciples say, we need to feed them. And so all the food that they were able to gather together were 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus went into prayer. He centered in God. He blessed the fish and the loaves, and they were able to be multiplied and feed all the people. And then he sent the people home, and he sent the disciples into their boat. And he said, I will meet you on the other side in Bethsaida. And he went up into the mountain to pray. And so in Unity, we look at Scripture metaphysically. We look to see what it means for us in our own spiritual journey, in our own path. Metaphysically, the place Bethsaida represents a state of spiritual mindfulness. So he sent the disciples over into a state of spiritual mindfulness. And whenever we see mountain in the Scripture, mountain represents a state of spiritual realization. A state of going above the level of personality, above the limited human thinking, to the state of the realization of true spiritual power, the realization of the amazing. And when you look at the Scripture, at this point in the Gospels, Jesus was being persecuted very heavily by the Pharisees. They saw him performing these miracles, and they were demanding that Jesus verify his divine authority, even though he just fed 5,000 people. And the disciples, his closest friends and companions, were also skeptical. And the Scripture says that they didn't understand the miracle and their hearts were hardened. When something amazing happens, when there are miracles in our lives, isn't it true that sometimes we can get skeptical? Like, well, this seems too good to be true, or you know, how long is this going to last? Or better prepare when the other shoe falls and all that kind of thing, right? We can get stuck in our heads and our hearts can get hardened even in the best of times. And the suggestions of the Pharisees had put fear into the hearts of Jesus' closest companions. Have you let your heart get hardened in a situation in your life? I've been guarding against this because I have met with an elder care specialist, and what she said was that the children of the parent who are far away, who are distant, now my dad lives in New York and living in Houston now, that they tend to harden their heart against the caregiver because they're not seeing what's happening with the parent day by day. They tend to question the choices that the caregiver is making. It becomes a very difficult situation for the family. And so this realization of that possibility put me on alert and awareness that I needed to watch my consciousness, that I wanted to stay in my heart, that I didn't want to go that route in my family. And so Jesus didn't want to play into the negativity that was going on in his spiritual family, the negativity he was receiving from others. So rather than try to argue with them, which you don't see Jesus doing that, to try to convince them, try to change their minds, he went up into the mountain. He had to let go of that fear-based consciousness that was all around him and center into God so that he could see the truth. And we see this many times in Scripture that Jesus would take time apart to reconnect with the divine in prayer so he could see beyond that suffering and confusion that was all around him, the people that he was serving. He sought to reestablish his own mastery over his human condition. And so he spent time connecting with his own light, so that he could see each person as we truly are, as true lights, true spiritual beings. And after centering in that unlimited, amazing consciousness of God, that's when Jesus performed another miracle, an amazing thing, where he walked out over the water. He walked out over the water towards disciples in their boat. And the disciples were terrified because they thought he was a ghost. I mean, imagine how Jesus in his white robes, and he is all centered in spirit, is radiating a light and walking over the water. And Jesus knew how they felt, and he said to them, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. When we center into fear and that lack consciousness and his skepticism and that kind of thing, that I am, that Christ nature that is our true nature is there, telling us, take heart, I'm here, do not be afraid. The truth is here, God is here, love is here. And Jesus got into the boat and all the wind ceased. Charles Fillmore tells us that walking on water represents walking over our troubled thoughts, over that human level of fear-based thinking. Spiritual thoughts will rise above the human thoughts and can do the amazing to have faith, even in the midst of the greatest storms in our lives. So you can walk on the waves of troubled thoughts, which can seem to drag you down, when you center into that unlimited knowing, and you won't find it outside of yourself, watching TV or reading a book, or, you know, you find it within, because it is your very own true nature. Now, I've heard a lot of worst-case scenarios about my dad's condition, about dementia, and what can happen to him, about the physical and the mental deterioration, and the caregiver burnout that could happen for my sister, and it's painted a really bleak picture, and it could really put us into fear about this situation. And so I continually take it into prayer. I continually hold the intention for the high watch, looking out for miracles. And miracles have shown up in the midst of this situation. And while things have progressed for my dad, I recognize that in this now moment, he's physically healthy. He recognizes us. He's able to do things. And my sister has been able to give of her time and her care and her attention to him that I would not be able to do, not living here. And so I'm grateful for that. And he's in good spirits. And while he's still able to understand, my husband and I have been able to share with him the wonderful news that we're expecting our first child. And guess what day the child is born? It's going to be born. The due date, we don't know what day really, but what the due date is. His birthday. It's a God job, isn't it? Yeah. In our family, when things seem dark, there's this new light coming, this new opportunity for joy. And everyone, and we could get so bogged down with concern for my dad. We do still have, of course, care and concern, but to have this light, it's just such a God-given thing and such a blessing, and it's just so amazing. And so in the midst of this, I've created an acronym for myself, and I want to share it with you of how to live in this state of experiencing the good, the miracles, the amazing in life. And so the acronym that I created is Be in Awe, B-N-A-W-E. So let's say it together, Be in Awe.
Be in Awe.
Okay, we can remember that easy, right? So the B stands for being. We think that to create a miracle in our lives, we have to work at it, right? We have to work really hard. We have to do everything that we can think of to do. We got to, you know, anything to make it happen. And that's just not how spirit works. Spirit works in the way of surrendering and letting go and being open to that flow that's already present. But we tend to resist when we think, well, I have to do X, Y, and Z in order for good to happen in my life. When that good is already present, we need to open ourselves to it. And there may be things for us to do. But it always begins with that state of beingness. Jesus always did this. He always took time to be before he took action. He always took time in silence. So it's so important for us to commune in spirit so that we can continually let go of difficult situations. To be centered, to have that radiant energy come forth, that unlimited energy that we all, you know, we all have all unlimited energy. We do. We have unlimited energy. And we access it by going within. And the more we use it in that intentional nature, the more energy we have. It's just God is unlimited as our source of energy resources. So the awe part stands for allow wonder every day. A-W-E, allow wonder every day. Let's say it together. Allow wonder every day. Great. So allow. So have you ever spent your whole day not allowing, in resistance? Friday, they decided in airport security to do a full body pat-down on me. As a pregnant woman, that's not really any fun. It didn't feel good. I wasn't excited about it. I was in a lot of resistance around it. I was still in resistance around it after it happened. And I knew, I'm like, I don't want to go into this trip where I get to speak at Unity of New York. I get to be in this wonderful city with this negativity, you know. And so I didn't feel so good about the person who did the whole thing. It just was really not a pleasant experience. And just the way to just start with allowing and just opening up to spirit and just saying, I release and I let go of this situation. I surrender this situation and I bless these people. Even if I don't feel in the energy of blessing, I call on spirit to bless these people, to bless this situation so that I can let it go and be free to experience what's amazing, to experience what's good. So I don't miss a day of my life. And we can go through life where we're in this state of resistance and somebody could open a door for us or smile at us on the subway and we're so into our stuff. We're not even present to what's in front of us. So that state of allowing, of letting go, of saying, yes, this is going on in my life and life is amazing and I'm willing to see what's amazing now in my life. What's around me? What miracles? I'm open to miracles today. And that little boy in the story was in a state of allowing, wasn't he? Yeah, he was just really open. He didn't have a supernatural experience where God appeared on a cloud. I mean, we know God isn't a person, right? But it wasn't like, the story didn't go that way, right? He saw God in a person, a regular person in a park. He wanted to see God, and he saw God in her smile. We can see God in each person if we allow ourselves, like Jesus did, to remember our own light. So we can see that light in each person. So the second is wonder. So we have allow and then wonder. When we use wonder, we access our divine power of imagination, that power to create, that power to see even the crazy, worst situations in our life turn out for good. Because we have that capacity to do that. That's God-given. So it's just saying, God, I can't wait to see how you work this out for me. And I'm ready to be amazed. I'm ready to be amazed. Let's say it together. I am ready to be amazed. Are you? Yes. 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 I'm ready to be amazed that there's a win-win situation for my dad going through this situation to get his best care, for my sister get fully supported as she supports her dad. I mean, we may not be able to stop this disease. There's no cure known for it. But we can make sure that he has his best life. And in the midst of all this, we have this wonderful new life to celebrate. We have these wonderful opportunities to come together to heal old wounds in my family, to grow closer, to support each other through these changes. Instead of being stuck in fear like the disciples, we can center into our Christ nature and continue to have faith, the faith that can cause you to walk on the water of the storms of life. So we have allow, wonder, and then E is every day. So every day just means make it a practice, because we can have a great day. We're coming to Unity of New York. You're all prayed up. You're feeling great. And then tomorrow, somebody takes your seat on the subway, and like, damn. You know, and the whole thing, it's like, you know, and then you're holding. So it's a practice of constantly centering and going in and letting it go, because stuff's going to happen. Stuff's going to happen. And how do we choose to show up? We could show up in anger and violence. We can show up as the light. We're all the light. We're being called to be the light every day. So it's a choice. It's not always an easy choice, but it's a choice that if we have such a desire, and I know we do in our hearts, to shift the consciousness of this planet, to be a planet of love, of peace, of joy, we need to do our own work, and our own work affects the consciousness of the entire planet. Amen. You remember what actress Ruth Gordon said? You remember? Never give up and never under any circumstances face the facts. You think Jesus ever faced the facts? You think he ever listened to the naysayers in his life and the people who questioned him? No. He couldn't have done the great things he did if he paid more attention to what he was hearing than the attention to what he was hearing through his inner voice, his inner guidance. And there's always a possibility that things don't go the way that we've planned. But we know that planning for the best allows the best to come forth. It creates space for it. If we plan for the worst, then we make space for that. So we have a choice. So what would you rather do, plan for the best or plan for the worst? The best, right? Right? Can we plan for the worst? We might get it. And so it's paying attention to our thoughts every day and really thinking about, is that what I want to create? And so when I get into those negative mind states, I think, is that really what I want to show up in my life? And then it's like, cancel. Let it go to spirit and just keep letting it go and surrendering and say, show me a greater way. If I'm not able to see it, show it to me, and spirit will show it to you. When you allow yourself to be open, you let go and forgive the actions of others that may get you into those other A words that aren't amazing, right? Agonizing, annoying. So you ready to experience the amazing in your life? Yeah. So remember to be in awe, to take time to center into spirit, into your beingness, to allow, to be let go of resistance and allow that good to show up, to look for the good. Look, David and I are walking around the city like, oh, there's a new restaurant, there's a new store. We're like seeing the city in totally new eyes, being here in Vineyard in a few months. And it's like seeing the world like that. Like, wow, what's amazing to see rather than, you know, the smell of pee in the street and that kind of thing. Come on, we know it's there. So allowing wondering for the amazing, right? Like using our imaginations to create that good and create, like, you know, I just imagine the kind of ministry that I want to serve in, and I had that opportunity through an amazing way of just getting an email from the senior minister at Unity of Houston, and I didn't even apply for the job. So it's just, things can happen in that way when you set the intention, when you put that energy out there, and you keep knowing the truth. And then every day, it's a practice, every day, affirming and seeing the good. So say it with me. That's so amazing. Make that your mantra and be open to the good and amazing in your life. God bless you all. Breathing in and letting go. Inhaling, I let go. Exhaling, I let God. I let go. I let God. I let go. I let God. And in this now moment, we know that we are one with that infinite state of beingness that is the divine. And so we choose in this time of meditation to let go of anything that is unlike love in our lives. We allow spirit to work in and through and as us. To forgive, to let go, to bless. As we center into our own radiant light energy, surrendering all to God. Silently affirming, I allow good into my life. I allow good into my life. In beautiful, abundant, unlimited ways. I see my life as God sees it. So many opportunities, so much light, so much good. I'm willing to live in that state of knowingness, of knowing God beyond any appearances. That infinite peace, that infinite undercurrent of peace that carries us in the midst of any storm. I know peace. I am peace. I am open to imagine amazing good flowing into my life now. And I send out love, I send out light, I send out blessings because I know I am already blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I take that awareness into the stillness of the silence. I am so blessed. It takes but a moment to commune with God, to know this truth, to be open and receptive. And so we feel gratitude in our hearts for being here in this now moment. For remembering the presence, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, Spirit. And so it is. Amen.